Man is God in dust. So the glory of man was hid in him. And then God desired that man will operate at the level that Lucifer desired. But Lucifer saw this again, and he came and corrupted the process. He knew that the only way to corrupt this thing was to walk in rebellion. So he deceived Adam. And when he deceived Adam, Adam moved the rebellion and short-circuited the protocol. So it was no longer possible for man, after the order of Adam, to operate at that rank. And the only way this purpose was going to be achieved, by the way, you need to know that the word Lucifer is light bearer. But when he fell, his name changed from Lucifer to Satan. Satan means opposer. So he came and choked the protocol that God had set in motion. And when man fell, God wanted that will to be perfected again and again. So God had to come down this time bodily in the person of Jesus. Because man must occupy the throne. And the only man that has the capacity to do that now will have to be a man that does not come from the lineage of Adam. So God had to come down himself. That God that came down is who we call Jesus. And after this God came down, he had to fulfill the claims of divine justice. Because the only thing that will make you to be exalted like that is that you have to be tasted. You have to pass the taste of God in order to qualify. Lucifer failed it. But when God became man, God himself subjected himself to the taste. And for God to enter through that test, he had to strip himself of everything that makes him God, so that justice and righteousness can still be sustained, because God is the just custodian of justice, judgment, and equity. There was no bias about it. He stripped himself of all that made him a God. And then he became man. And when God successfully passed the test, passed the trial, he was now exalted and coronated. He was enthroned to sit in an office. That's why when, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was asked the question, he told them that this Jesus that you crucified is today exalted both as the Lord and the Christ. That throne that he occupies now is the highest throne of authority in heaven. It's called the right hand of the Father. It's a kingdom context. In kingdom context, when you say, this is the right hand man, that is the place of the highest authority in the kingdom. So that is the throne that Lucifer coveted. But now Jesus is sitting in that throne. And one of the operations of that throne is to administer everything that God intends to do. Because that throne was actually the heritage of Jesus. So anybody who journeys into the spirit, if you journey outside of the orientation of that throne, you're already wrong. Because nothing can be accurate again in the whole of eternity except as he receives his direction from the throne. So every time you begin your adventure in the spirit, your first focus and priority must be the person of Jesus. But a lot of people today are pursuing all kinds of revelation, because anything that is mystical, we enjoy it. So even if somebody wants to share something, if they come now and teach you plain Bible, you are no longer interested in it. You want to hear things that are big and bogus, things that look mystical. Because it's an appetite of the fallen nature. You desire to hear things that are lofty, things that are not common. But that is not common does not make it real. Every adventure in the spirit must be targeted as a person. His name is Jesus. And that is because he occupies the throne and the highest authority in heaven. And until he grants you authority, you can never do anything in time. So when John came, he said, what we come to preach is not a message, it's a person. The gospel is not a message, it's a person. He said that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, and we have handled of the word of life. He said eternal life, which was with the Father, we have seen him, and that is what we have come to give you. So the gospel is the delivery and the presentation of the person of the Christ. He said we brought this to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And he said truly our fellowship is with the Father. The moment you begin to engage Jesus, what happens is that the whole mysteries of God are already open to you. Paul said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimonies of God, but I came in the demonstration and the power of Christ. He said, so that your faith will not be built on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He was still referring to the authority and the person of the throne. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So if you don't know Jesus, you are not permitted to taste of the realities of the spirit. Because it's after you know him that you begin to know about the power of the kingdom. But not too many people are interested in Jesus because they are not well instructed. In fact, some people crave to see angels even more than seeing Jesus. But when you begin to grow in God, you know that Jesus is the greatest beauty of all creation. So when Jesus appears to you from the Word of God, he becomes more fascinating to you than an angel standing in the form of light. You begin to search Jesus. You search for him everywhere. When you are fasting, when you are praying, you are looking for whispers from Jesus. You dwell on the scriptures. You are chewing it. You are looking for a person. Jesus said the Pharisees, in their knowledge of scriptures, he said they were wrong. In John chapter 5 verse 39, he said, "Ye search the scriptures, for therein you think you have eternal life. But he said, the scriptures speak of me." So if you have not found me in the scriptures, you have wasted your time. Your journey begins with an encounter with Jesus. Every great man you see in scriptures, they met Jesus. They began from Jesus. Because it's your interaction with Jesus that mandates you to witness for him. In Mark chapter 3 verse 14, he said he called them to be with him so that he may send them. You don't have a message if you have not met him. You need to know this so that you don't run into campus and start saying you are this, you are that, and you are talking things you heard from other people. Every one of us that is here, there is a message locked in our heart. When you see Jesus, that message opens. Even if you hear 1,000 preachers, what they will only do is to give amplification to what is in your heart. That's why you see one person. If you like, let Bishop Oedipo preach heaven, hell. He will carry it through the line of faith. The message in his spirit is faith. His faith from today till tomorrow, and he has preached it for 30 years. He has not finished preaching it. Because realities cannot be exhausted. They are as deep as God. If you like, tell Apostle Albert to preach prosperity. He will bring it back to kingdom. That's the message in his heart. God designed you a complete package. When you find him in time, then he will manifest through you. This is what the elders knew. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 15. He said, "Just in case I depart from this body," he said, "everything I'm laboring here is for you to remember, to remember, to remember." Peter categorized all of his ministry as trying to keep people in remembrance of a person. He said, "Look, look, look." He said, "We were eyewitnesses on the mount. When God spake and gave him honor, and we saw his excellent majesty." He said, "But there is something I want you to know." He said, "Bear this in heart and continue until Jesus appear in your heart like a morning star." He said, "Knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures of any individual interpretation. Only men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit of God." It means know Jesus first, because the totality of the prophecy is the witness of Christ. He said, "Know Jesus first and know him until he appears in your heart like a morning star." A lot of people today, the ambition is not Jesus. Some people pursue power. Some people pursue prosperity. Some people pursue signs and wonders. Some people pursue encounters with angels. Some people even pursue their belly. Those ones are the least certain. Everything they do, their motivation is their belly. Even when they are reading in school, you think they love first class. No. It's a good job they are looking for. And they are not looking for a good job because they love the job. Because the good job gives the good salary. And they want the good salary because of their appetite. Their God is their belly. Such people, in eternity, their weight is like paper. Let me tell you something. The goal of God is not for you to go to heaven. If his priority was for you to go to heaven, the day you got born again, he would have carried you. Earth, life, is an opportunity for you to invest in eternity, because there is a reward system that is coming. If you go to eternity, you will see that men are in class. Men are in ranks. Men are in status. We are not all equal. That's why the Bible says there are places in Christ. There's a justice system. The thing is that before you came, your position, your throne has already been built. Whether you will sit there or not, it depends on what you do in time. That's why people like Paul say they strive for the mark of the high calling. He knew that there was something more important than salvation, is the reward in heaven. So when that guy is doing business in the market, he's striving for the mark of the high calling. He's traveling from one place to another. He's on campus, there is book to read, and it's a legitimate thing to do. And nobody says you should neglect it. It's your primary assignment here. But beyond your book, you are pressing for the mark of the high calling. That's why you cannot be on campus for 4 years and you have not left any kingdom impact. Meanwhile, when you were coming to campus, there was a grace of God that was deposited on you. And God expects that that grace at least will transform the life of 50 persons. That's how people immortalize themselves. When you leave this campus, the person you won to Christ, the person will win another person. That one will win another person. After 50 years, whatever happens in this campus, there will be reward credited to your account. Because what is happening today cannot happen if you did not do what you did 10 years ago. It's called the justice system of heaven. But you must find Jesus. Your best priority, your first priority, your first love is a person. His name is Jesus. Until Jesus becomes your priority, all your motivation, no matter how you define it, is wrong. You may say, I want to make money so that I'll advance the kingdom, is a lie. Your appetite is your God. If you find Jesus first, you will be obsessed with him. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, the life that I live is no longer I that live it. He said, but it is Christ that liveth in me. Why? He said, he died for me. So living for Jesus is a reasonable thing to do. When a Christian begins to live for Jesus, know that he has become reasonable. He gave his for you, so you will give yours for him. It's the balance system of heaven. And it's on the basis of that will be rewarded. It's not just about salvation. That's not the goal of God. Salvation is to bring you back to where Adam fell from. When you come back there, then you begin to live your life and begin to fulfill destiny. Adam had not fallen, but God gave him assignment. He said, have dominion. Make the earth become a representation of heaven. That's the assignment. He said, subdue the earth. So that when you look at earth will be a mirror image of heaven. Your friends, your family, your world, everybody that comes in contact with you, you are supposed to deposit Jesus in that person. But how do you do that when you yourself have not found him? That I may know him. That's a cry of a reasonable Christian. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, be made conformable with his suffering. This knowledge I'm talking about, it doesn't matter if I will suffer for it. While I'm pursuing after him, I will lose a lot of things. Hey, but I desire it that way. As a Christian, for that kind of Christian, God can allow 100 people die. Because when those people die, you will be crying. But the Bible says, precious in the eyes of God is the death of a saint. So some people who don't have use, instead of remaining in the world as junks, God will tell them to come home. And some people, if the devil is killing them, God will just allow them. Let them come home. Because if you even check the next 10 years, they have no impact in the kingdom. See, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of a saint. But for the one that the kingdom is advancing on his account, he will remain here until he fulfills his purpose. That's why men of purpose don't die. God told Prophet Enos, he said, you will not taste of death until you see the salvation of Israel. The guy got tired with life. The moment he saw Jesus, he said, thank God, now I will depart in peace. Those type of people, if they are coming, death run away. Because they are walking with purpose in their spirit. If your orientation in the spirit is not towards Jesus, you are wrong. You are wrong. No need to check with scriptures, you are wrong. Tell somebody you are wrong. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You see why we are obsessed with some songs? Those songs remind us why we live. We don't just sing songs because they are sweet. Because songs are prophecies. They are gates into the spirit. As you sing it, you are sucked into the realm. He said, I was in the spirit in the Isle of Patmos. And I heard a sound behind me like as of a trumpet as I turned. That guy was cut out from civilization to die. But while he was there, he kept his gaze on Jesus. That was the same person that said the word of God that we saw handled, we commit to you. When they separated him from civilization, he didn't feel it. Because in life, he's living in an atmosphere. It's called the atmosphere of Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you tell him, go to the village. There are people today who claim the Lord Jesus. They are doing manipulation so that they will post them to London. Because their goal is abroad. But the man who is in the center of Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Send him to a village. Jesus, he will be basking in the spirit. He's not even concerned. When the villagers come, he shows love. Why do you think the missionaries traveled from the U.S. to come to Africa to die? There was no vision. There was no ambition. There was no goal. There was no reward. They carried Jesus. So they ran away. They discovered everybody in their world knew about Jesus already. So they were looking for territories where people have not heard of Jesus. Some of them were princes. They ran from their country. The more they killed them, the more they came. The more they killed them, the more they came. The Bible you read, you are reading today, many died for it. Only one translation will be in the country, and then they will run with it. They want to kill the person. He will hand it over to the next person. The person will go. They will kill him. They continue with it. There was a time when you will give 3 days' wages to read one page of the Bible. They struggled with their life. Even King James that translated the Bible was burnt alive. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. There are many of you praying for power. Let me tell you what you don't know. Power is a person. When you touch him, he will break out of you in form of power. He will break out of you in form of healing. We don't pursue things in the kingdom. We pursue the person of the Christ. He's the spectacle of eternity. Kados, Kados, you are mighty on your... You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign. Kadosh, 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 you are mighty on your... You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your... Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I don't have any ambition in life. I found only one. My ambition is to apprehend Christ. My ambition is to apprehend Christ and his kingdom. Is to apprehend Christ and his kingdom. Even when the call of God was not clear on my life, I stayed in the presence. I tied myself there. I knew the reason I have not heard it was because I had not ascended in the spirit. I stayed there. I left the university 9 years ago. Finished my master's 4 years ago. I'm a PhD student. We are just using it to while away time. I'm in Makurdi. I've turned down many job offers. As I'm coming to preach, you would think we are preaching with fire because there are 1,000 people. No. Even right now, we go to preach among teenagers in secondary schools. We are pursuing somebody. It's not an ambition. The people lecturing here, those who have understanding, they are here for the kingdom. That's why you see Pastor Silas, a lecturer, running around with students, carrying speakers. There's need for money. Give money. He's not your mate. But because of Jesus, we are one. There's no class distinction anymore because we have one ambition. So he can leave every other thing and come to run around with you in the crowd. He's a man that has understanding.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty.
There's no destiny, there's no destiny, there's no destiny outside of Jesus. Oh my God, let me tell you something. When you have found Jesus, then if there is a need in the military for Jesus, then God will open a door and they will send you there. You are not just going there to be an army officer. When you go there now, you become the Jesus in the corridor of the army. When you have apprehended Jesus, then he can send you to the political corridor. He can send you to the investment world. Why? Because the goal is to colonize the world. And only men that can be witnesses unto him can be sent to the corridors of the world. That's why after he finished with the apostles, he said, go into all the worlds. The reason you are going into the world is not to go and survive. He said, disciple all nations, teaching them the things you have received of me. He said, lo, I am with you always. So when a man is in the bank, he has gone to the bank because he apprehended Jesus, and Jesus is sending him to the bank. When you are in school, you have apprehended Jesus, so Jesus has sent you to the campus. But those who don't have understanding, these things don't mean anything to them. Their life and their God is their bellies. You will never be relevant. There's safety, because Jesus said to Peter, he said, nobody who chooses me will be irrelevant. He said, in this world and in the world to come. The psalmist said, I was young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Listen, the righteous in this context is not somebody who just have the nature of God. It's somebody who is walking in alignment with the government of the kingdom. Somebody who is under the laws of the kingdom. He said, if you find a man like that, I have never seen one of them who is begging for bread. It's not this one that you just say, I'm born again, and you are living for yourself. No, you are born again, and you are living under the government of heaven. He said, such a man can never beg for bread. In this life, you will reign, and even in the world to come. Because in the world to come, the Bible said, we will be shining like the brightness of the heavens. Some of us, we carry stars on our bodies. I tell you, we will carry stars, many stars. You are not seeing in the spirit. When you see some men in the spirit, they are clothed with stars. If you see Paul, you will run away because of the glory. He will shine like the brightness of the heaven because he knew him and he lived for him. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign,
you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign, you reign, ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Can you just make a prayer for 2 minutes? Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. That may be the most important prayer you have prayed this year. Because if we check the catalog of your prayers, some of you have been praying for bread. What will we eat? What will we eat? But the Bible says when Moses was come of age, when he had grown, when he was a child, he was enjoying the pleasures of Egypt. But he said when Moses was come of age, when he was come of age, he left the pleasures of Egypt. He chose to suffer reproach with the children of Israel. When he was come of age, Maturity in the faith is not a function of how long you have been in church. That's why Timothy, at the age of 17, was the bishop of Ephesus. And Timothy, who was a teenager, was ordaining elders and pastors. Because being an elder in the church is not a function of age, it's not a function of time, it's a function of the depth and the apprehension of grace that you have on account of the dealings that you have submitted yourself to, so that you become a spectre through which the dimensions of heaven can be seen. Our doctrine in church has become defective. That's why people pride themselves in the wrong thing. People come to tell you they've been born again for 20 years, but there's no proof in their lives. We pride in how long we've been born again. The apostles were with Jesus for 3.5 years. And for 3.5 years, 3.5 years was enough for Jesus to commit his assignment to them and go back to heaven. He was not watching from somewhere. 3.5 years training was enough for Jesus to commit the whole kingdom to them and leave the world. You know what that means? And people pride themselves, I've been born again for 15 years. Who told you time is important in the equation of reality? What proof do you have in your life? What dealings have you submitted yourself to? The Holy Ghost calls you. Even prayer you are struggling with. Study of the world you are struggling with. You have not witnessed anybody. There is nobody standing in the kingdom today because you are born again. You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed to tell us when you were born again. Because we are not out to know when you were born again. We are out to see the fruits of the fact that you are born again. Jesus didn't say, go telling people when you are born again. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will drink poisons. It will not hurt them. They will walk upon serpents. They will not be hurt. He said, they shall be witnesses unto me. And in eternity, nobody is going to ask you of time. In eternity, it's going to be an assembly of overcomers. He said, they that overcome. They that overcome will I cause to be planted as a tree of life. They that overcome, I will give a new name that no man knoweth. They that overcome. They that overcome. Not they that are long in church. Fighting over Titus. Why won't they fight over Titus? In our world, apostles move with pride because they think it's about the title. But in the world where Christianity was born, they were the ones that died. They were the ones that their blood were spilled. Today you find pastors battling over money. Over money, a prophet comes to a church and then the pastor tells him, this one have money. Tell him this so that honorarium can become big. You see, pastors now have pastoral psychology where they settle young ladies that are into immorality. Some of them are choir leaders. They settle. But in the church that we came from, somebody sold land and hid part of the money and the person fell down and died, because that's a church of the Holy Ghost. That's a church of righteousness. That's a church that was the foundation upon which everything was built. I tell you the truth. God is serious with the foundation because it's foundation. In your time, the Holy Ghost may not be strict like that, but everything you do will be tried by fire. And if it doesn't pass the test of fire, it will be burnt, and you will have no reward in the world to come. Your life will be a waste. Your life will be a waste, except as you pursue after Jesus, apprehend him and commit yourself to him, because that's where life begins from. Oh. Interested in. Can you ask him to reorient you again? Maybe your vistas have been corrupted. Maybe what you think is right is wrong. And life is not an experiment. You will only discover in eternity that you are wrong. He said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Can you ask God for a reorientation? Lord, what I believe in, is it correct? Is it right? Ask for a reorientation. The Bible said, if we don't judge ourselves, we will be judged. It said, let him that standeth be careful, lest he falleth. Can you ask for reorientation? Perhaps what you think is right, you are wrong. You could just be wrong. Because the only way where you can know truth is when you see Jesus. Isaiah was a prophet. He was prophesying for many years. But the day he saw the glory of God, the first thing he said was, Woe unto me. A prophet for the first time discovered that after having done prophetic ministry for many years, he was among people of corrupt lips. Maybe what you have been doing and think is right is wrong. Until you see the glory, until you see the personality, who is the substance of truth, you may never know whether you are right or wrong.
Fire of God.
That will be taking place. Some of you, your hands will begin to burn. Your legs will begin to burn. Some of you, your legs will be itchy. Some of you, there will be weight on your chest. Some of you will be slain. Different manifestation for different operation. Alignment have been secured. Holy Ghost, touch.